This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. I've been sitting right here waiting for this moment to come so we could get started as we continue our series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. It's 20 parts. You ought to order the entire series. And remember to be sure to get the study guide. I put a lot of work into these study guides. They are loaded with all the Greek words, all the history. Everything in the series is in the study guide so that you can read all the material while you're seeing or hearing the series and really get this teaching down deep inside you. And please also order the book, 464 pages cover to cover. It's called The Rapture, the Antichrist, the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown. And what happens next? The foreword is written by my friend, Jimmy Evans. And my friends, this book, 464 pages cover to cover, is beautifully illustrated and so easy to read. And it's going to put you on a good, solid foundation about what's going to happen next. You need to know what is coming. And that's why I wrote this book. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And when you reach out to us, please let us know how to pray for you. We want to pray for you. That's why we always put the number on the screen. And by the way, write it down. Save that number. Keep it near at hand in case you ever have a need in your life. You'll know who to call. Call us. Or you can send us an email. And the moment you call or write to us, we're going to pray scripturally. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, that if we pray according to God's will, or if we pray scripturally, God will hear us and we will have the petitions that we make of Him. So reach out to us and we will pray with you and Jesus will do what needs to be done. And I want to say thanks for being a partner. And if you're not a partner, please pray about becoming a partner with our ministry. And you can become a partner by just going online or by giving us a call. But reach for your Bible. And today we're going to see what the Bible tells us about where the Antichrist is going to come from. Now, tomorrow we're going to see what Jesus said about the rapture. Some people say, now, wait. If the rapture was so important, why didn't Jesus ever discuss the rapture? He did. Jesus discussed the rapture in two very important texts. And when we come back tomorrow, that's where we're going to begin. So please don't miss tomorrow's episode. But today, we're going to address the question, what does the Bible tell us about where the Antichrist is going to come from? And I told you in previous programs that in time past, people have tried to guess who is the Antichrist. And during the first century, when people were really suffering, many people thought maybe Nero was the Antichrist. Then there were people who thought maybe Trajan was the Antichrist. There were people who thought maybe Domitian was the Antichrist. Then there were early believers who thought Hadrian was the Antichrist. And then in the Middle Ages, people thought various popes were the Antichrist. Then people began to surmise maybe Napoleon is the Antichrist. Then people guessed maybe Mussolini is the Antichrist. And a vast number of people thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. I personally remember as a young man, people were guessing that Anwar Sadat was the Antichrist. And then people were just absolutely sure that Gorbachev was the Antichrist. And they even wrote books about it. And of course, that didn't turn out to be right. And then there were people who guessed that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. And my friends, people are just guessing all the time about who is the Antichrist. But we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, the Antichrist's identity will not be revealed until the restrainer has been taken out of the way. And the restrainer is the church. We are the church. My friends, the church, with all of its flaws and all of its deficiencies, we are still the church, and God is in the church, and the church is so powerful that we're holding evil at bay. And you should just embrace yourself and say, amen, that's who we are. I'm a part of the church. We are God's restraining force. But according to 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8, when the church is taken out of the way, then at that exact synchronized moment, that wicked one will be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the church has been removed. But where is the Antichrist going to come from? Well, I'm going to be honest and tell you that I don't believe the Bible clearly answers that question, but it gives us four possible scenarios. But I want us to begin by opening our Bible to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1-9. So if you have your Bible, please open to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 1. And in this chapter, we find a description of the Antichrist. And listen to what it says beginning in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. So here we see that the Antichrist is described as a beast. It is the Greek word thurion, which describes a brute, savage beast. Though he will style himself as being a benevolent, new, progressive world leader, at his core, he will be a brute, savage beast. And the Bible says he will rise up out of the sea. Well, that phrase, out of the sea, is an expression which usually denotes the Gentile nations. But it goes on to say, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Well, we saw in the last episode that one of the primary features of the Antichrist is he's going to speak blasphemous, pompous words against God. He's really going to be noted for blasphemy. Then verse 2 continues, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power. The word dragon refers to Satan. So it is Satan giving him power. The word power here describes authority. So we find that the Antichrist is going to be empowered and given authority by the devil himself and his seat and great authority. His position, his authority, all of it is going to come from the dragon or from Satan. Then we read in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And on the basis of this verse, there are scholars who believe that the Antichrist is going to receive some kind of a deadly wound, but he will recover very much in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead. The Antichrist is going to seem to have some kind of a resurrection, and the whole world is going to wonder after the Antichrist, who is a beast. Then we read in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, they worshiped Satan, which gave power unto the beast. In reality, they're worshiping the beast, they're worshiping the Antichrist, but they don't understand that working behind him is Satan himself. And by worshiping the Antichrist, they're really worshiping the devil. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? This is talking about the Antichrist. Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. We saw this in the previous program where I identified 31 characteristics of the Antichrist. And many times we're told in the book of Daniel that he's going to speak great blasphemous words against the integrity of God. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So now we find that his reign is going to be limited. Then we come to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Notice this term blasphemy appears again and again and again. The Antichrist is going to be blasphemous. He's going to promote himself as God. And we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's even going to sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem in a rebuilt temple and show himself that he is God. But this verse says, he will blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. This word saints refers to the people of Israel and to those who are saved during the great tribulation who refused to receive his mark and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now remember, even though he's given power and authority, it's for a very brief, limited amount of time. Then verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Then in verse 9, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. So now in Revelation 13, verse 1 through 9, we see this very vivid depiction of the Antichrist. But notice it says he is a beast and he will rise up out of the sea. And many scholars believe this is a picture of the Antichrist arising from Gentile nations. And for this reason, many believe the Antichrist will be a Gentile. And more specifically, there are scholars who believe that he will emerge from a revived Roman Empire. And this leads us to view number one, that the Antichrist will arise from the former Roman Empire or from the area which is now known as the European Union. Especially during the 1970s and the 1980s, when the idea of the European Union was just coming together, it was popular to believe that the Antichrist would emerge from a revived Roman Empire, which eventually became the European Union. The dream that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 seemed to provide some prophetic clues concerning the nations and empires from which the Antichrist would emerge. And in Daniel 2:1, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and he was so troubled that he couldn't sleep thereafter. So he called for Daniel to interpret the dream. And when we come to Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 to 33, we read a part of the dream, and it says, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. That great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Verse 32, the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. Verse 33, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. So Nebuchadnezzar saw an image with a head of fine gold, breast and arms made of silver, a belly and thighs of brass, legs that were made of iron, and feet fashioned partly of iron and clay. And as Daniel interpreted the dream, he interpreted that these represented various empires at various times. And most scholars generally believe that the head of fine gold represented the Babylonian Empire. The arms of silver represented the Mede or the Persian Empire. The belly and the thighs of brass represented the Greek Empire. The legs of iron represented the Roman Empire, and this is very important because it was legs. And the Roman Empire had two legs. It had two branches. It had the Western branch, it had the Eastern branch, and the feet were made partly of iron and clay. And according to some, this is representative of a revived Roman Empire, which in the last days will be a group of 10 nations or 10 toes. But today there's even another new idea that this represents an Arab League that will emerge at the end of the age, 10 nations that are united together. But the words feet part of iron and part of clay are important because 2 feet have 10 toes. And some really have believed and strongly taught that the 10 toes represent 10 future nations or 10 global territories that will unite at the end of the age, and that the Antichrist will emerge from those 10 nations. And when the European Union was first created in 1993, there really were many prophecy teachers who said that when it reemerged, this revived Roman Empire, the European Union, it would be 10 nations. These would be the 10 toes which Daniel saw. And at first it seemed like that was the case. But today, there are 27 members of the European Union, so this has become a little complicated. However, the majority of prophecy teachers today still believe that the Antichrist will emerge from a revived Roman Empire or from the European Union. I'm not stating that as a fact. I'm telling you what some people believe. But then there's view number two. And view number two is that the Antichrist will emerge from an Islamic nation. Some believe that the Antichrist will be Islamic, and they believe the mortal wound that is referred to in Daniel chapter 10 could symbolically describe the crumbling of the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was powerful, and then it seemed that it was dealt a mortal wound and it fell apart. And some people believe the Islamic nations, the Ottoman Empire, will be revived at the end of the age, and this will be what Revelation chapter 13 refers to. I'm not saying that, I'm just giving you another view. But we do know that Revelation 13:5 says that during the most brutal period of the Antichrist's rule, he will slay people with the sword. And Islam is known for using the sword, so some people really believe this is a forecast that the Antichrist will emerge from an Islamic nation. Again, I'm not telling you that is my view, I'm telling you that is another view. And then we come to view number 3 and 4. Are you ready? And this is that the Antichrist will be of Jewish descent and that he will arise from Israel or from a surrounding Arab nation. That really is another view, that he will be Jewish. Daniel 11:37 says he will not regard the God of his fathers. So some say this refers to a non-faith-keeping Jew who disregards his Jewish heritage. And we do know that it's a fact that the Jews to this day are awaiting a future Messiah. But we know that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus has already come. And so when the future Messiah comes, he will be a false Messiah. And it's possible that he could be the Antichrist. Israel will embrace him, and some people allege this will be the Antichrist. Others suggest that he'll be Jewish by blood, but that he'll come from an Arab nation. And so here we have 4 views which most people assert. Number 1, the Antichrist will be a Gentile leader. Number 2, the Antichrist will be an Islamic leader. Number 3, the Antichrist will be a Jewish leader. Or number 4, the Antichrist will be a Jew who comes from a surrounding Arab or Islamic nation. Now, I'm going to tell you that I've studied all of these views, and I personally do not come to a conclusion. I just have not. And so I'm going to be honest with you. But I want to tell you the 4 views that are out there, and you can come to your own conclusion. But Scripture does emphatically teach us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, that when the restrainer is removed, then, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 says, then that wicked one shall be revealed. Wherever he comes from, he is not going to be revealed until the restrainer has been taken out of the way first. And then chapter 2, verse 8 says, then, the Greek word then is the word tote, then, at that precise exact moment, that wicked one will be revealed. And the word revealed, the Greek word apokalupto, describes something that is veiled like a curtain that is closed. Well, it's very possible, it's even likely, that the Antichrist is alive right now. All the technology is available for the mark of the beast. It could be that he is standing center stage at this very moment, but he's standing behind a closed curtain, and we can postulate who he is. We can guess all day long, and we might even come up with some pretty good guesses. We might even guess what the mark of the beast is, but we will not specifically know until the great restrainer, who is the church, is taken out of the way, and then, the Greek word pote, then at that exact moment, that wicked one will be revealed. Suddenly the curtain will be pulled apart and the world will see a leader standing center stage. The spotlight will fall on him and he will come to the attention of the entire world and he will claim to be a benevolent, wonderful, progressive leader to help the world through its difficult times. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 very clearly, in fact, he will be a beast. He's called a beast repeated times. The Greek word therion, which describes a beast that is brutal, a beast that is savage. He will style himself in one way, but at his very core, the reality is he will be a beast of a human being. And we're told repeatedly and repeatedly in the book of Daniel, in Zephaniah, in 2 Thessalonians, in the book of Revelation, he will be filled with blasphemy as he assaults the very name and the nature of God himself and promotes himself as God And according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will even sit in the temple of God, a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and show himself that he is God. And according to Revelation chapter 13, the whole world will worship him and will follow him, and he will be given authority by the devil, and he will perform signs and wonders and will mesmerize the entire human race. But let me tell you, friend, the Bible tells us his rule is limited. It is for a very brief period of time. And at the end of 7 years, Jesus is going to come, and with one puff of Jesus' mouth, he is going to incinerate the Antichrist, and that will be the end of him. Now, when we come back in the next program, we're going to see what Jesus said about the rapture. Don't miss it. It's going to thrill your heart. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked, is the Antichrist alive right now? I don't know, but I think he probably is, because we're living at the very end of the age, and the church is presently holding back evil, putting on the brakes, and stalling the manifestation of the Antichrist. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets, or he who restrains, will let, the Greek says, will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way. This is a depiction of the rapture of the church. And then verse 8 says, and then at that very synchronized moment shall the wicked one be revealed, which means the moment the church is evacuated, the Antichrist will step center stage, the curtains will be pulled apart, and then he will be revealed. But his identity will not be known until the church is first evacuated.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and the Tribulation, an end times countdown and what happens next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, an End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, an End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35. And the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries. Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow, because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London, because we have an office in England, and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga, where Denise and our boys lived for 9 years, and our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 78% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part.
Well, today we've been looking at four primary ideas about where the Antichrist is going to come from. And when we come back in the next program, we're going to see what Jesus said about the rapture of the church. And you're going to be quite surprised because in two texts, Jesus speaks very clearly about the rapture of the church. And I want you to see it. So please don't miss the next program. But order the whole series, which is called The Rapture, The Antichrist and the Tribulation. Remember that it comes with a study guide, and be sure to order the book, 464 pages, cover to cover, beautifully illustrated and written in a way that is so easy to read. And it's called The Rapture, The Antichrist, The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. I really want you to have this, and you should order several because I'm quite certain this is a book you're going to want to share with somebody else. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And please, when you reach out to us, remember, we're waiting to pray for you. Call the number on the screen or go online, send us an email, and when we hear from you, we're going to release our faith, and Jesus is really going to move. In fact, put your hand on your heart. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you don't tell us anything to scare us, but you are very interested in preparing us. And thank you that you want us to know what's going to happen next, and you want us to be prepared and help us to reach the unsaved so they will be delivered from the wrath that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, I'll see you tomorrow when we're going to see what Jesus said about the rapture. But until then, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed, and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.